imagine an embodied approach to the art of transformation, a perspective that blends both coaching and business mastery, all while honoring your unique visions, your values, and your intuition. Welcome to the Embodied Coach Podcast. I'm Dr. Jen Chrisman, master coach, former psychologist, and mentor for conscious coaches and healers. I'll be your guide as you cultivate both the skill set and the mindset needed to transform your life and the lives of your clients. Are you ready to be an embodied coach? Then let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Embodied Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jen Chrisman, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. Before we get into today's episode, I do want to share with you that doors are officially open to apply for the Embodied Coaching Academy. This is a six-month certification and mentorship experience. I highly emphasize mentorship because there is a lot of high touch opportunity for you to really deepen into your coaching practice, your skills, your intuition, and to really embody your craft and the work that you are doing in the world. You will get certified in NLP, hypnosis, time techniques, EFT. There's trainings on Jungian psychology, archetypes, parts integration, somatic teaching, breath work. We really cover the gamut of exposure because one of the principles and values that I lead with is that to be a coach of integrity and to be a coach who's going to stand out and really make it in the world as the coaching industry is shifting, which we're going to talk about a little bit today, you really need to have diversity in your repertoire and the ability to pull from many different fields and techniques and to demonstrate flexibility in your approach and complexity in your ability to think about the work that you're doing and your clients. And the more flexible we are in life, the more successful we're going to be. And this is absolutely true for your coaching practice. And so one of the principles that I really lead with, that I really emphasize in teaching, is making sure that you are exposed and really have the opportunity to experience firsthand through your own lived experience, your own personal walking of the path, many different ways of doing this work. If that sounds like something that you would be interested in, it is an application only. We're a small group. We're capped at 12 people. So the spots will fill up. We are starting July 10th. And depending on when you're listening to this, right, if it's before July 10th, applications are open. So I invite you to submit your application. Let's get on a call. We can talk and see if this is the right fit for you. If mentorship and deepening your craft is something that aligns, you're listening to this podcast. So my guess is it does. And we can just talk about if this is the right fit for you. I will leave the link in the show notes for the application, and I can't wait to talk more about it. So, having said all of that, let's dive in to this week's episode where we're going to be talking about some of these changes that we are seeing. I hosted a workshop this past week talking about really what everything that's necessary to stand out as a coach in today's culture. And one of the things that we talked about is the changes that we're seeing in the coaching industry. And so I thought it would be helpful to share some of that with you as well, because there are a lot of shifts that are changing. And let me tell you, I am here for it. I am so excited to see what's happening. The truth is, everything in life is always changing, right? And so people, I have this conversation almost daily with people about, you know, some anxiety, some fear about changes that they're seeing in the coaching industry, and out people asking, do you think the coaching industry is changing? And my answer is, of course it is, right? It's always been. It has been, you know, since it broke out onto the scene, it's been changing, it's been evolving. And right now, I think what's happening is we're heading into a new paradigm. We are heading into a new era of coaching. And this is where I say, I am here for this, because what's happening is we're going into a time of refinement, and you're going to start to see a lot of the noise, the fluff. It's going to start to die off because people have caught on. The novelty of the coaching industry has worn off, and people have caught on that, you know, we talk about this all the time. Actually, anybody can call themselves a coach. Literally anybody. Anyone can decide right here, right now, I think I would be a good coach. And they can create a website and they can put themselves out there. They can start posting on Instagram. They can start running Facebook ads and start promoting and selling a coaching business. And unfortunately, that is what a lot of people have done over the last few years. And there has been this hyper fixation on marketing, and this little circle, this bubble of coaches that are all buying into and supporting each other's marketing and business courses, and nobody's really actually doing anything. And so what happens is that people who are not in the coaching industry, they see the flashiness, they see the promises, they see the hype around good marketing, and they think, oh, like, this is exciting. And so they come in, but there's no substance, there's nothing substantial backing the marketing. And so people have gotten disheartened. The again, that novelty, the shiny objects, like, people, the world has caught on. And so people are no longer going to be impressed by fancy marketing. Now, having said that, of course, marketing is still going to be a part of running a business. It will always be a part of running a business. Doesn't matter what kind of a business. And if you want to call it marketing, you want to call it networking, you want to call it growing, you want to call it business development, doesn't matter what you call it, what name we put on it. The fact is that in order to be successful, yes, we're going to have to focus on growing our business. We can't just ignore that. However, what we're seeing, what we're going to see, the change that is coming, is that your focus on growing your business is going to have to be equally balanced on your focus of growing your skills, your techniques, your ability to actually coach other people in whatever capacity or way, whether it's health coaching, wellness coaching, spirituality, doesn't matter what the niche is, you are going to have to invest just as significantly in your development as a coach, in the same way that you are willing to invest in your development as a marketer. And what does this look like? So obviously, like, foundational trainings are going to be required. Here's the other thing too, is that you're going to start to see a lot of therapists. We're already seeing it. Therapists are entering into the world of coaching. Why? This is really important for coaches to understand, because it's going to really affect who people are seeking out. So therapists are coming into the world of coaching the same way I did, right? I didn't know coaching existed for a long time. I became a therapist, a psychologist originally, because I thought that was my only option. I didn't know that I could coach. And then with the onset of social media and Instagram, I discovered this whole world of coaching. And I saw that there was a lot more room, a lot more space inside of the world of coaching. And there's a funny dynamic that I see amongst consumers, clients, when it comes to therapists and coaches. And the general feeling towards both is that people tend to respect therapists more than they do coaches. However, there's a higher value placed on coaching than there is on therapy. Collectively, as a culture, people will pay more for coaching than they will for therapy. Part of that is, you know, Western medical model and insurance companies. And because it's been lumped into that, people don't really want to pay outside of copays, things like that. However, coaching, you know, we've had this conversation too. You can pay thousands and thousands of dollars for coaching. And that's kind of just the given. So I think that therapists are catching on to this and they're going to start entering the world of coaching because of the opportunity for their growth. And if you, as a coach, don't have a respectable credential to stand next to a therapist, the therapists are going to beat you out. Now, this does not mean, when I say credential, I actually don't mean letters after a name. I don't actually, some people, that's how it might be interpreted. That's what they might value. But that's actually not what I'm referring to. I do believe, however, though, you have to have something that you can objectively offer to potential clients as trustworthy. Here is why I am qualified to support you in this. And I'll tell you right now that in the direction that we're going, when it comes to healing, when it comes to transformations, when we're talking about meaningful changes to the way of living and the way of being, your own personal transformation is not going to be a solid enough leg to stand on. There's going to have to be a deeper understanding of the dynamics of human psychology, the subconscious mind, the nervous system regulation, all of these things that, again, thank you to social media and the access of information, people are just they're more well-versed in their understanding of what is required, which means you need to be more well-versed, which means your depth of training needs to be something that you can confidently stand behind. And this doesn't mean, again, I don't think that you have to go back to school and get a degree. As someone who invested almost $200,000 in my education, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that that's the route to go, because I think that there are way quicker, way more effective ways to be doing this. Again, thanks to the age of information that we live in, there are so many different courses that you can take, trainings you can take, and I encourage people to always be learning, always be developing. You know, again, I already spoke about this a little bit, of the importance of diversity, but when I was a therapist, and I talk about this all the time, that, you know, one of the mottos that I live by, I'm sure you've heard me say it before, is that contrast brings clarity. And I'm oftentimes looking at the contrast between my life as a psychologist when I was, and my life as a coach. And one of the things that stands out to me, obviously my training, my education, that, and what was required of me in order to earn my license as a psychologist and maintain my license as a psychologist. Again, things that, like, coaches, there's none, right? The contrast with becoming a psychologist, I had 8 years of education. I had 3,000 supervised hours. I had two licensing exams before I could get licensed. And then once I was finally licensed, I needed to get 32, it was either 32 or 36 hours of continuing education every renewal cycle, which was 2 years. So every 2 years, I had 32 hours of additional continuing education. Coaches don't need any of this. However, I will make the argument that these are really good practices that coaches can be adopting in order to stay in the to stay relevant, to stay able to stand out and be someone that is respected and recognized for the work that you are doing. So a lot of coaches are going to, maybe they take their initial certification, but then they don't do anything after that. And I think it's really important. I think it's really necessary in where we are heading and what we are seeing, the changes that are happening in the world of coaching, that you are placing a high value on your learning. I was thinking about this the other day. I was kind of like laughing at myself, and I was sharing with the with some people in the my in the coaching academy, actually. It's almost comical, actually, how many certifications I actually have. Again, because I was always training. I was always taking courses, I was always taking classes, I was always investing in my learning, even after I graduated. Obviously, part of it was I had to, and another part is just personal values. This is who I am. So I let's just name off a few of them, right? Obviously, I have my doctorate in clinical psychology. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology and a BA in clinical psychology. I am a certified divorce mediator. That's a fun fact. I am certified in a technique called NET, neuroemotional technique. I am certified in EFT, emotional freedom technique. I am a certified heart math practitioner. I am certified in NLP, hypnosis. Oh my gosh, there's so I'm certified in a somatic practitioner. I'm certified in mindfulness-based stress reduction. Oh my goodness, I know I'm forgetting some more, but that's just what was that, seven or eight that I just thought of off the top of my head. Again, there's, it's an invitation here. And I also put this caveat out there too of an understanding that there's a particular relationship we need to have when it comes to our learning, which is recognizing that we continue to allow ourselves to be a student. We continue to allow ourselves to learn in order to expand, not to fill a gap or a feeling of unworthiness. There are a lot of people who will go into this thinking, I need this in order to feel good about myself. Feel like if I take this course, then I'll be able to help somebody. And that's not the energy that we're looking for, right? There's a foundational recognition of your intrinsic value. And the role of learning only supports and amplifies what's already there. It's not about fixing. It's not, again, I will say this all the time. Yes, you have to invest in the learning, but the learning itself isn't what makes you qualified. It's what you do with it. It's how you embody it. It's how you move forward with it. And also, full disclosure, half of those certifications that I shared with you, I actually never even used with a person, right? I spent, I don't even want to tell you how many hours and thousands of dollars went into my divorce mediation certification, and I never have acted as a mediator for divorce. I could if I ever wanted to, but I haven't. Right. So understanding that a lot of times we're learning simply for the sake of learning. So that was a lot of different points that I made, all again coming back to this understanding that we're moving into a new era of coaching, one that is going to be rooted with integrity and alignment. And if you are not practicing with integrity and alignment, you're going to see that it's going to be struggle bus. You're going to have a hard time really growing and really building because people are clients, potential clients, the collective has caught on to what's happening. And people are going to be looking for coaches who are capable, who are qualified, and who are embodied in what they are teaching. And I also want to speak just for a moment to this idea of the saturation in the world of coaching. And I, you know, there's a few different pieces here. I actually don't think that the coaching world, the coaching industry is saturated. And it oftentimes feels like it is because as a coach, you're in this world. And so, of course, it's what you see. The same thing was true for me when I was a therapist and I was just stepping into my private practice. And I'm, as a therapist, seeing the world and through this lens of clinical psychology and private practice. And so all I was seeing were all of the other therapists in private practice around me. And I had a professor my final year of grad school. It was during my professional roles class, which, just to give you an idea, we had one semester out of 4 years that was focused on our professional development, like actually the role that we would be playing once we graduated and stepped into the world as a psychologist. And of that one semester, 2 weeks were focused on private practice. So we didn't get a lot in the way of training and marketing. It's kind of like the opposite of coaching, right? Coaching, everyone is focused on marketing. No one's actually focused on skill, technique, and, you know, building their craft. In the world of therapy, everyone is focused on your craft, your build, your education, all of that, not much on the marketing and business side of it. Anyways, I had a professor who really appreciated this professor, and he just put things in a different perspective for us. And he told us how in the world, right, there's 7 billion people in the world. And out of those billion, how many of us are psychologists? You know, maybe 10,000 in the world. There's more than enough people on this planet for every single therapist to have a full practice, and we still wouldn't have enough to help everybody. And the same is true for coaching. I'd say even more so, because coaching has no geographical boundaries. As a coach, you can work with someone anywhere in the world, versus as a therapist, you can only practice in your state where you're licensed. So, you know, we have this potential to reach so many more people, and understanding that, you know, we're all bringing something different to the table and opening ourselves up to a more abundant mindset that even if each and every one of us as a coach are seeing 10, 20 clients a week, if every coach on the planet were seeing 10, 20 people, we probably still wouldn't be able to reach everybody. Just a little bit of, just a tiny shift to consider adopting a more abundant perspective on the coaching industry. And also just referencing and actually looking at, well, what are the trends telling us? The trends are telling us that especially the world of online education, which I'd say it's probably fair to say that majority of coaches today would put themselves in the category of an online business owner. I think very few coaches are actually working from a brick and mortar perspective or approach. And so we would be categorized in this online education. digital platform. And what does that mean? It means like scaling beyond just one-to-one coaching, moving to group programs, digital courses, things like that. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is only growing. Again, these shifts in this age of information feel so saturated because we're in it. But think about self-help books, right? There is no shortage of self-help books because you don't read a self-help book just one time. Same thing with online courses, with coaching, with all of this. I'm sitting here saying like that you as a coach should be continuing to take more courses, should be continuing to expand your education, expand your craft, deepen into more exposure and more experiences, learning different things. And, this online education is just making it so much more accessible for so many more people, right? You don't have to do what I did and spend nearly $200,000 on an education in order to start really, really helping people and growing a successful business. And there's a reason why this industry is continuing to grow. It's because it's just making learning so much more available to and accessible to so many more people. So the final topic I want to just hit on very quickly in terms of changes that we are seeing in the coaching industry is in regards to AI. And when I was creating the workshop last week, I didn't originally have this in there, but it's been something that pops up and has continued to show up. And I was like, we should just talk about this for a second because it's very real. And I don't know if you're starting to see all of the new AI technology that's coming online and what people are doing with it, but it's going to start becoming more and more prevalent, especially for those of us who are business owners, which as a coach, you are a business owner. Anyways, if you're a coach that's wanting to build a coaching business. And so you're going to start seeing a lot of people are going to be making a shift to using AI, especially in regards to their marketing, to their content, maybe even to their course creation. And I think that this is going to be, as we move forward, the biggest hindrance actually to your coaching success, because we as human beings are social creatures. We desire to be in community with other people. And even in just the last, 10, 15 years since social media has come on board, we've really experienced the detriment that technology, along with all of the great that it brings, the detriments that also come along with it. And people have caught on to it. And while we all got sucked in, and probably to a certain extent are still sucked in, I think every single one of us can step forward, raise their hand and be like, I'm putting more boundaries around myself when it comes to social media. I'm taking a break from Instagram. We're consciously doing these things because we're seeing that they're bringing harm to our lives. We're seeing the harm that it's bringing to our children, the way kids are growing up these days. And I think the more extreme it gets, the more extreme the other side will be, which will be that deep need for disconnection, disconnecting from the technology and having real human relationships. And this is where the coaches who are not bringing their humanity into their coaching practice, I'm pausing here for a second just to kind of shift my thought a little bit of there. I don't want to say they won't be successful because it's very possible that they'll be successful in the same way that the coaches who are focused on marketing, they have some success, right? People buy into the shiny objects. People buy in to, the promises. But what happens is people buy in and then they realize there's nothing behind this. And so it's not sustainable. You just have to keep like more and more and more and more and more. And the same thing is going to happen for coaches who are relying too heavily on AI and not relying enough on their humanity, because people are people. People are not robots. They're not machines. There's a human being on the other end of your post who is reading it. And what you write, what you share, the words that you speak will be felt by that other person. And so again, I really do think personally, and this is just my personal opinion, right? I am actually not a data analyst. So, you know, there's nothing behind these statements except my own personal opinions and my beliefs about the importance of human connection in a journey of healing, which, you know, coaching, that's what we're doing. Right? We're meeting another person and we're walking along this path with them. We're taking a journey with them as they find within themselves the hope, the potential, the possibility, the courage to make changes. And I personally do not think that that can be replaced by something like AI. So, I think what we're seeing, to summarize this in a neat little package for you, what is changing? Humanity is changing, right? The collective is waking up. There's an elevation that is happening around integrity, around embodiment, around compassion and acceptance and walking the talk, right? Really embodying and living the work that we're doing. And if you're not in alignment with those values of really taking this work seriously, really holding the work and your clients with such reverence and such high regard, it's not going to be sustainable anymore. Because again, the world has shifted. We've caught on, like, shiny object syndrome and, you know, empty promises are not going to cut it anymore. And like I said in the beginning, I am here for it. I am so excited for this. I created a certification program from the beginning because I saw this gap. I saw this space where it was so confusing to me. I was like, I don't understand. How is it that therapists who's put so much time and money into developing their craft, why are they not getting paid, paid fractions of what coaches are charging, right? And over here, we have coaches who are making so much money, charging so much, and they have nothing to back it up. They have nothing in the way of depth of understanding. They have no training. They have no mentorship, right? They're not investing in their learning and valuing the craft. They haven't been taught how to hold space, like really understand what is holding space for another person. They weren't taught how to embody the qualities that are necessary to create real meaningful healing and change with another person. And I saw this, right? I saw that point of, okay, people respect therapists, but they don't value it, right? But people value coaching, but they don't really respect coaches, right? How many of us have that kind of like cringe? Or I know for myself, it took me so long to be able to just simply say, I'm a coach, without having some sort of caveat on it. Right. And I was like, how do we bridge this? And I was like, I'll make a program where coaches receive the depth of training that is missing right now I really wanted to make it my mission to create something that I did not see out there. An experience where you are held in deep, deep training and mentorship, where you can not just learn. Anyone can take a certification program. Anyone can take an online class, right? We've all seen it. NLP for $7. Are you really learning? Are you really going to be able to walk out confidently, embodied in an understanding of how to actually use NLP? Probably not. So I am excited for what's coming. I think that this is a beautiful time to step into this world. I think it's a beautiful time to experience the profound power of healing and transformation and turning on your own light in this world so you can illuminate the path for others to walk it too. It's really exciting times and I am here for it. I hope you are too. And once again, like I said, applications are open for the Embodied Coaching Academy. If this is in alignment for you, if you're wanting to deepen your training, your craft, experience a profound level of mentorship from myself and the other academy coaches, I invite you to apply. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your time with me. And I will look forward to seeing you in our next episode.